Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 12:58 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is April 9th. And stock markets took a little breather in here today, certainly not in a dynamic manner. One thing that's quite clear from the S&P 500 chart is the market has rebounded almost as quickly as it fell. It took 3 months to get from the peak in October down to the low in late December, and it's taken 3 months to get from the low back up to the top. And if people had been considering, and something that a broker friend of mine related to me right at the beginning of the year was that one of the things that a lot of his clients had been talking to him about was not that it had a rebound in the first week of in the first couple of weeks of January, but rather that they were still feeling the sting from the pullback from the peaks back in September. That's where they were still they had some, I guess, what behavioral analysts now call anchoring, that they had been psychologically attached to the peak values that their portfolios had seen in 2018. Well, most of those people now, provided of course they didn't sell, will have recouped the vast majority of those losses. Now, when we look at the consistency of the trend, well, we have had a sequence of higher reaction lows, and that remains intact. Then the advance started to lose momentum from approximately the end of February, because that pullback started to dip into the underlying range, and we've seen that now with each of the successive new highs has dipped into the underlying range. We've also seen that 2800 points was an area of resistance on at least four occasions since October, and more recently has been an area of support. Now, if this is going to remain a consistent feature of this advance, we can anticipate that the current pullback is going to pull back into the underlying range, but it should then find support above 2800 points. So that would be a very benign outcome, because if we get a very small pullback like that in the region of the previous peak, then it is potentially setting the market up for a more impressive advance to new all-time highs later. Then we have the Nasdaq, and the Nasdaq has been more consistent on the upside. It remains the clear relative strength leader, not least because that peak back in October and September was really quite substantially above at the values that were put in at the peak in January and February. Well, in fact, in this case, in March. We can also see here that each one of these, just with one, countervailing example, where we did dip into the underlying range for 1 day, each of the ranges has been above the other. And now we've had this breakout, and the market was down about 30 points in here today, which is less than 0.5%. If we still continue to get ranges one above another, even if we get a small pullback into the underlying range, I don't think that's going to be enough to really damage confidence for the vast majority of investors here. That's despite the fact that there is going to be a clear incentive by at least some retail investors to take some money off the table as we come back up to test these peaks put in before the very significant drawdown that we had between September and October. One of the defining characteristics of whether that is likely that we're going to get another deeper pullback is probably very much tied to the outlook for the bond market. And 10-year treasuries were in positive territory in here today. They have unwound at least half of the advance put in since the beginning of March, and we're starting to see that the peak value back in January is now starting to at least offer temporary support. If this is the extent of the pullback that we've seen in the bond markets, and we did certainly have a short-term overbought condition, Well, then that is likely to be rather bad news for the banking sector, but probably good news for the stock market in the short term. And this is the exact period one could potentially expect there to be an acceleration. We have a lot of cash that's on the sidelines. If the stock market breaks on the upside, then it's likely to start to draw that cash back into the market. But then the question is whether we're going to get earnings starting to turn back around. That's a big consideration. Whether that in fact happens is going to be very much tied to the outlook for the trade war, the continued betting by bond market investors that the next move by the Federal Reserve is going to be to cut rates, and then we have the question of how significant is China's stimulus going to be. And China's markets in here today were positive, but well, excuse, well, it closed out the day in negative territory, but again, not in a particularly dynamic manner. The H-share index was in positive territory in Hong Kong. The Chinese banks, however, were in negative territory, and unwinding all of the advance put in at the peak yesterday and pulling back. Well, this is looking increasingly like a failed upside break, and that is suggesting that we are in for some additional consolidation in here for the Chinese markets. Nonetheless, it does look increasingly likely that we are going to see additional credit growth coming out of China, and that will help to stoke demand for just about everything. The fact that the European markets, particularly on the periphery, are doing better. And they have the twin, well, Greece, for example, has the twin tailwinds of debt forgiveness on the one hand, and then also an uptick in, potentially at least, an uptick in exports from the reflation of the Chinese economy. That's also going to be particularly important for Italy, considering just how much business the country does with China. But we've had a pretty significant advance in some of these European markets already, and they are susceptible to some pause of consolidation, particularly if that's if we get the same condition evolving on Wall Street. What I think is most particularly interesting is the fact that the DAX index is pulling back from this 12,000 level. It's a key area of potential resistance, considering it had been an area of potential support all the way back through 2017 and 18. It's almost a mirror image of the kind of example we use on the first day of the chart seminar. So that is usually an example where we talk about how past support can become future resistance. So the big question now is whether the German market is going to hold the region of the trend mean, whether this is going to be just a mild consolidation in the region of 12,000 before it can break successfully above it, or whether it is going to fail and break its sequence of higher reaction lows. It does look increasingly likely that Europe is going to engage in an additional round of stimulus, not least because there are a significant number of its constituent countries are experiencing slowing growth. Well, it therefore is not all down to China, but also down to Europe, whether they are willing to pick up the baton in terms of providing stimulus to the global and indeed the domestic economy. And the euro is really just barely steady in the region of 112. I continue to think that we are going to see additional downside for the euro for the simple reason that they need stimulus and a weaker currency more than the USA does at the present time. Well, considering that we have this environment right now in stock markets where we have short-term overbought conditions, we have a number of indices that are in the region of previous peaks, and that is a recipe for some pause and consolidation. Then the onus is going to very clearly be on the monetary authorities as to how much assistance they're willing to give to this market, and I suspect that it is likely to be rather meaningful. Well, there is the clear potential that we are going to see negative real interest rates, and that is one of the clearest bullish characteristics for an asset like gold that does not pay an interest rate. So gold prices are back above the $1,300 area, but I think more important than that is the fact that this has been a pretty orderly consolidation over the course of this year so far, and there has been an absence of clear downward dynamics that would be visible beyond the daily chart. So when we look at the two that we've had in March, it has taken some time to unwind them, and we have had this a region around $1,275 offering support. If we can push back above the at 1325 level, well, then that will have broken the sequence of lower highs since February. It will start to really confirm more than temporary support around the $1,275 area, and that will then hold out the prospect that this is just a consolidation prior to an upward break. When we look at the gold shares, there are a substantial number of gold shares that have got all-in sustaining costs south of $900. So this is a cheap sector. If we had technology companies with those kinds of margins, people would be very happy to bid them up to almost infinity, and yet it's a rather difficult prospect to get anybody interested in gold shares at the moment, and yet this looks like a pretty orderly consolidation in the region of the upper side of the range that persisted for the first half of 2018, and it's looking increasingly likely that we are going to see additional upside here for the gold mining sector. And one thing that has certainly been at the back of my mind recently is there's all of this very emotional discussion going on about modern monetary theory when in fact it is almost like the theory that dare not speak its name, because we've had modern monetary theory in practice in Japan since 2012. That was a clear, they just called it Abenomics, but what it was in fact was that the government with fiscal policy and the central bank with monetary policy formed a partnership that they were going to print and spend as much as they could to try and foment inflation. That process ran out of steam. They're still engaged in it, but the yen has not been trending downwards like they had hoped. Now we've also started to see that this same process is already unfolding on Wall Street in between the Treasury and the Federal Reserve. Wall Street got really worried that the Federal Reserve was raising interest rates and reducing the size of their balance sheet in an overly aggressive manner from about the middle of 2018. And the government is very clearly in a deficit spending mode, which is the epitome of pro-cyclical policies. The Federal Reserve then saw that the funding requirement for the Treasury this year is in the order of $400 billion that's going to need to be refinanced. Well, they couldn't very well continue to raise interest rates and put that kind of burden onto the Treasury and therefore the taxpayers. So they are basically manufacturing the yield on the long end of the curve lower by telling us all that they're going to lower interest rates. Well, that is effectively modern monetary theory, that the government is spending at an aggressive rate and the central bank is willing to continue to supply the money necessary in order to do that. Well, it might not be on an industrial scale yet, but We certainly can see the way that things are going. That doesn't necessarily mean that we need to see politicians elected that are going to accelerate the process, because arguably we've already got it. So I think that there is certainly an argument about the modern monetary theory and just how damaging it can be if inflation does in fact start to rear its head once more. But I'm very much reminded of the conditions when I was in about 6th or 7th grade, where everyone used to talk about the wine lakes and the butter mountains in Europe, and people thought that that would persist indefinitely. So politicians intervened and said that they were going to reform the subsidy system, and that it was unfair for the millions and millions of very poor people in the emerging markets, that it was anti-competitive. So they changed the rules. They cut back on the massive production of food and wine and milk in the EU and indeed in North America. That created massive demand for production in the rest of the world at higher prices. We are still living with those higher prices in here today. Well, how isn't that really quite similar to the kind of situation that we have with the bond markets today? People have been living with disinflation for so long, not least as a result of globalization and the accumulation of debts and technological innovation. Well, now people are looking at the fact that inflation has not been doing better. So, what we are very clearly starting to do on the international stage is putting in place policies that are going to create inflation, whether that is through significant wage hikes or whether it is through the election of populist politicians that are going to spend and spend and spend. Well, eventually they are going to create inflation, and then that is likely to be something we're going to live with for decades. So that's, I think, one of the more important points that is sort of at the background of everything that is behind these markets at the moment. And it's potentially also one of the reasons why gold has started to perk up over the course of the last 6 months, because I think investors are starting to get the idea that we are going to see asset price inflation funded by massive deficits, and that that is something that is not going to be individual to one country, but is probably going to be adopted by a significant number. Well, when we think then about the value of the US dollar against that background, well, the dollar has been pausing over the course of the last few days, but it's right in the region of the upper side of its range. It has held this upward bias over the course of the last 7 or 8 months, and this continues to look reasonably bullish for the simple reason that not so much that the dollar is particularly strong, but that everywhere else needs a weaker currency more. Then, of course, we have the fact that there are a lot of elections that are underway right now. Well, what we certainly have right now in Israel is probably going to be a contested result. The Benjamin Netanyahu's party does look like either going to be in dead heat or they've lost, and that is going to create an environment where there's going to be a difficult scenario to create a coalition to rule the country. Well, that is being taken in its stride by the stock market, and the Israeli shekel has been strengthening over the course of the last while, but it is representative of this continued sclerosis in the political system. Then we have what's going on in Turkey, where Erdogan didn't like the result of the mayoral election in Istanbul, so He's deciding to rerun it. Well, we know what that sounds like. It's very similar to what they tend to be doing in Europe, and there's certainly calls to do exactly the same thing with the Brexit result in the UK. But the Turkish lira is starting to weaken from the region of the trend mean again, so investors are starting to vote with their feet. Then we have the fact that Narendra Modi does look like he's firming in the polls. What was interesting is that a biopic about him has been banned for the moment because it might potentially influence the election. But the Nifty index was in positive territory in here today. This has been a very mild consolidation in the region of the peak from back in September. And I think by far the most important indicator for that market is the banking sector. And this looks like a really tight consolidation following what was an impressive breakout for just about all of March. I think India does represent one of the better opportunities over the long term, not least because we do have a market-friendly environment there, credit growth, and a massive young population. So that is contributing to the outperformance of the market. Then we also have an election coming up in Indonesia, and the Indonesian market was also in positive territory in here today. This has also been a pretty tight consolidation, which is unwinding the short-term overbought condition, and it does look like we're going to see additional upside in here as well. So we are at a rather interesting juncture, particularly for Wall Street and I think for Europe. But we can also see that the higher growth markets and those that do have the demographic I think impetus on their side are outperforming in here. It also suggests that investors are beginning to pay attention to the valuation differences between what are rather expensive markets in the USA relative to what is available in the emerging markets. Then I think it's also particularly interesting to pay attention to what's going on in the FANG index. It was pretty much unchanged in here today, but it is a bit overbought in the short term, so I think it is likely we're going to see some pause and consolidation. But Amazon is still the most important share in the world. The most important thing it's done recently has been to complete that range on the upside between $1,600 and $1,700. Now, I do think that there is scope here for some pause as well, considering that there is a short-term overbought condition. But the region of the trend mean should begin to start offering support on any pullback following the break of the succession of lower rally highs. I think if we're going to think about risks, then Netflix is hanging out there as a potential problem because they just don't make any money. And they're spending far more than they're making is probably a more accurate statement. They're going to lose approximately 2 billion this year and another 2 billion next year, and it'll be a great result if they only lose 1.9 billion the year after. At the same time, Disney is firming within its range, having completed the acquisition of Fox. There is a strong likelihood, I think, that it is going to resolve this range on the upside for the simple reason that they have accumulated this incredible portfolio of intellectual property titles. They're about to start a streaming service. They now own more than 50% of Hulu, which is already an alternative to Netflix. And there is going to be a battle royale between the streaming services over the course of the next 18 months. And that is going to require Netflix to greatly boost the quantity of money that they are borrowing, which is going to create a rather significant headwind in terms of the high yield market. Not least because Netflix is a very significant high yield borrower. But meanwhile, high yield is still contracting. It was down another 3 basis points in here yesterday, and it's now squarely below the trend mean. So this is continuing to support the view that we are going to see additional sources of liquidity coming back into this market. And I think as long as that remains the conclusion of the majority of investors, then the likelihood is that consolidations in markets are likely to be only that. If, on the other hand, we start to see these indices breaking their sequences of higher reaction lows and additionally pushing below their trend means, that would be a different story. But I think the greatest risk right now is really just for some pause and consolidation. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.